You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Matthew and chapter 11. As we open our Sunday school time, it's being this particular Sunday, Easter Sunday, so probably it won't hurt to just review since you're Easter resurrection. So just to review that which you know, so we're updated and fresh. So when it comes to resurrection, you want to think first of resuscitation. And resuscitation is not the same as resurrection, obviously. And resuscitation has to do with someone who is not in very good shape, and you would have to say that we can't find any evidence of life, and so therefore we are going to pronounce them dead, and lo and behold, they become alive again. So therefore they never died. And I tried to find it. I threw it away. I shouldn't have. I can't tell you what state or whatever it was in. The husband died, and they pronounced him dead and did everything. They tried to resuscitate and did all that. And then they pronounced him brain dead. And then they took care of that procedure up to a point. And the wife went to just to see the body given state, and as she was there and looking, and lo and behold, his fingers started moving, and he wasn't dead. He was pronounced brain dead by the system, but he wasn't really dead. So, my point. You can't die till God's ready for you to die, no matter how you cut the cookie. You just can't die. You have to stay alive till God's finished with you. Now, so resuscitation has to do with you haven't died, and you are resuscitated and brought back to life. And here in Matthew chapter 11, our Lord in his ministry, to demonstrate his authority and power. In chapter 11, picking up, please, in verse 5, "And the blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." And then you got all the illustrations of where our Lord brought back someone from the dead in a most wonderful way in order to demonstrate. So they weren't dead. Resurrection means you know come back. And Lazarus is a grand, very pronounced illustration. Lazarus was dead and died, and that was purpose in God's outworking. And so as Lazarus was buried 4 days and all that, all those days, and in the process, he was given back to life. He never went to paradise. He never didn't die. Obviously, he didn't die. I'll give you an illustration. Paul, 2 Corinthians in chapter 12, went to the third heaven, and God in his wonderful grace exposed Paul to that. And that was overwhelming. Paul, in order to come back here and finish his ministry, in order to finish it, God had to give him a physical infirmity, blind with his eyes and stuff. He had to give him that. Otherwise, Paul would have been out of this world. He'd be looking at you and thinking of that. And he'd have such a clear vision. He had to be lowered down to earth, down to earth. So paradise, Lazarus, and then we never hear a word from Lazarus. In fact, after he's risen from the dead, we don't hear any more from him. He died somewhere, but we don't hear any more. So God kept him in that interim period. And he died, and God just let him stay there in that state without any deterioration. He did that. It's easy to do. I'll give you a silly illustration again. If you were going to have some kind of an operation or something, not operation, some procedure or something, where they put you out, out. And when you're knocked out with anesthesia and that, I don't think you dream. I don't think you have any problem if you've ever been out. Do you remember ever dreaming when you were had an operation? You know. You might have awoke somewhere, but that was reality, and said, what are they doing? And then they give you another little zip or something, so you get back out again. So therefore, God just had him get out. That's resuscitation. And that happens. Happens more than we'll ever know, because who records that enough of people that are dead, but they aren't dead? Not yet. Now, having said that, and then there is resuscitation, and there's reincarnation. And reincarnation has to do with Hindu, Buddha, and all of Hinduism and Buddhism, and all of that. And they, all kinds of different ways people look, and a reincarnation. So, and that has to do with karma, K-A-R-M-A, karma. It has to do with the cosmic atmosphere and that, and reincarnation. You come back, depending on what you were before, you come back as something else, a reincarnation. And that's what people think. And in whatever part of the country and culture, world you live in, they believe that. And some places they won't kill whatever animal because it could be your grandmother. And after all, you don't want to. Anyway, you got the idea. You don't want to do that. Reincarnation. And that's what people do because we're meant. We aren't like an animal. We're meant to be eternal. We aren't like an angel. Angels can never die. They were made spirit beings. We were made to be spirit beings, body, soul, spirit. We are spirit born, spiritually dead. We're meant to be spiritually alive. So we're meant for eternity. That's what we're meant for. So we have to live, understand that. So either we can fulfill God's wonderful plan to save us on Calvary's cross, to save us, or we don't. But there's no way we're made for eternity. And that's where heaven and hell come in. And in the process, and remember now, because of sin, I'm trying to remember all these little things. Because of sin, this body can't keep going. You know, it's corrupted. Everything has been corrupted, including the stars and everything else, because of Adam and Eve's sin. Everything is reflecting Adam and Eve's sin. The ground is cursed with weeds and bugs and everything else. Everything is there. And we know from 1 Corinthians 15 that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. So there's no way. And you know, you keep shedding this, and every 7 years or whatever, your total body is replaced. Every 7 years, you get rid of everything, you're starting again. So depending on how long you live, how many bodies you got, saved up. And so flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. We're made each for eternity. We're made to be spiritually, to enjoy spiritually God's holy, happy, heavenly person. We're made to know and enjoy God. So resurrection comes in, and resurrection has to do with the leaving this body and going to the next stage. This is earthly. We're meant to be eternal, not in time, eternity. We're meant to be forever. So therefore, resurrection has to do with the resurrection making a body permanent forever, making a person permanent. They are permanent. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're made forever. So that's part of our problem. And now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and the resurrection, a rising up, but be the resurrection. Think of the word standing, to stand, as opposed to sit, to stand, to rise up. It would be taking a pole and standing a pole up straight, resurrecting a pole, putting a wall up like this, as it were, putting something, standing up. Resurrection means from down to up, rising up, standing up, a redoing of our whole system to be last forever, resurrection. And in the process, we'll look at it first, the Sadducees. And you know the Sadducees didn't go along with resurrection. And to see that over in chapter 22 of Matthew. Matthew in chapter 22. And you recall, and think of how many people in a global system, limited to Western world, the European and America, that kind of thing, where we have more of a Catholic, Protestant nothingness sometimes. And in all of that, how many people? Here's Easter being announced, you exercised in some way. How many people believe in resurrection? And what do they believe about resurrection? What do they believe in resurrection? We just had a thing the new survey, I forgot who put it out, that the people that go to church, is down from whatever number it is to 38 in our country, 38% that go to church. And of those that go to church, what do they believe? What are they resting in? What do they believe really about resurrection? Here's Easter. Easter bunny is one thing. Easter eggs are another thing. And the resurrection's a whole other thing. What do you believe about the resurrection? You see. Now, having said that, here's the Sadducees. So it is nothing new I don't believe in resurrection. No, this is it. Now, verse 23. Like the cowboys years ago, I guess. You know, the cowboys out west, you know, whatever. And the cowboys are there, and someone shoots somebody, and you put a little circle and bury them somewhere, and then you go out in the bar room and get drunk. Oh, that's it. You put them in the ground. That's it. Now, Matthew 22:23, the same day came to him the Sadducees, which say that there is no resurrection, and asked him, saying, Master, Moses said, and that's always trying to trap him, it was interesting all the time, saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife, and rise up seed unto his brother. So in other words, the the husband brother dies, and the system is you want to keep on the family line, and the brother comes in and takes over. Now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, no children, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And the last of all, the woman finally died. Understandably, that's seven times, Okay. Now, verse 28. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. We got you trapped. One husband, one wife. Okay. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be? Verse 29. Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, they neither marry, nor are given in marriage. They are as the angels of God in heaven. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying? And what did he say to Moses? Verse 32. I am the God of Abraham, I am the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. I'm talking about all those people. I know them now. I know them now. They are alive now. So what are you saying? There's no such thing as a future. You don't know what you're talking about. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, if you can on that, and you have all, and the nation Israel, I don't want to get ahead of myself, the nation Israel believed in the resurrection of the nation, but not of people. In other words, the nation's going to continue into the future, but not people. Not people. They believe that. And that's, anyway, now, having said that, keeping that in mind, if it can, but, the believing believer in the Old Testament understood that. They didn't understand that. They understood God had a wonderful plan for Israel, which included, what is Israel? Israel is made up of people, believers. And therefore, when we come to Job, look at Job chapter 19. And in Job chapter 19, you'd call it just illustration. And picking up, please, in verse 25. And you'll notice, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's just Job. Job just, I understand, said Job. David, over to 2 Samuel. In 2 Samuel. And in chapter 12. Oh, and you'll catch it in verse 18. You'll remember the incident with David and Bathsheba. Verse 18. And it came to pass on the seventh day, this is the child was, God was dealing with Jacob, dealing with David and Bathsheba. Verse 8. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him and he would not hearken unto the voice. How well he did, how well he did vex him, how well he then vexed himself if we tell him that the child is dead. In other words, we don't want to talk to him, he's so upset now, and then tell him the child is dead, he'll really be upset. Verse 19, but when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Wherefore David said unto his servants, is the child dead? And they said, he is dead. And David rose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his apparel, got dressed, took a shower, got everything all dressed and everything, and came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. And then he came to his own house, and when he inquired, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was yet alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst arise and eat bread. And he said, while the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept. For I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me that the child may live? But now he is dead. Wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return unto me. I'm going to go to where he is. They understood. Some believers understood if they wanted to, but they didn't always want to. They didn't want to leave. They left God out. When you leave God out, easy. When the world system leaves God out, the world system is a godless system made up of us humans. And when we leave God out of the picture, what kind of forever is there? If I take away God out of the picture, what kind of future is possible in your mind? How can you come up with anything? All you can come up with is what we earthly are, earthly. That's all you can come up with. You can go nowhere, nowhere, when you leave God out. There is no future. It's plain stopped, you see, if we leave God out. And then we try to be religious and we fit God in to different things in our world, depending on our religion. We have to leave him out. God is the future. God makes us understand eternity in a most wonderful, wonderful way. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, over to Daniel. Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 2, moving along, I think you're getting the idea. Daniel in chapter 12. And picking up now, the resurrections. Hold your finger here in Daniel and go over to John chapter 5. The Gospel of John and chapter 5. And you will note, please. Chapter 5, the Gospel of John, picking up, please, verse 27. And God hath given him, our Lord, authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation or judgment. There's two two resurrections, one for the good, one for the bad. Two resurrections. That's all. Hang on. One, first one, Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, picking up, please, and in verse 1. And remember now, as you come to the end of Daniel chapter 11, you're looking at the Antichrist and the battle and the movement and the tribulation conflict. And when you come in the middle of all of that battle and Armageddon and all that, you slide down from that context to chapter 12, verse 1, and you have at that time, during the tribulation, at the end of the tribulation, battles fought, at the end of the tribulation, at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth before the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was, that tribulation, since there was a nation, even to the same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust already died, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, even the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt or judgment. Now, and they that they be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. So, they're going to awake and a motto to rise up. Think of a word resurrection, the word awake, to rise up, to wake up, to stand up, to be alive, to be awake. And that concept, so the Hebrew concept, we started to say earlier, is thinking. Now, here they are, and here's Moses. We're pretty good with Moses. Think of what we've done recently in the evening. And there's Joshua, and Joshua dies, the elders die, and then we've been looking at the result of the world, everyone doing that which is right in their own eyes. So here's the judgment, and in the book of Judges, and that, and we come to the end. How's Israel's consciousness of God? Not very good. Now, was it going to go from Judges, the elders that knew God, to the judges, and they didn't want to receive the judges, so they rejected the judges and wanted kings like the world did. All the time we're going downhill. So when we come to Jeremiah and that, it's all downhill. So the Jews, their concept, God, the only God, there are no gods except God. That's what they know that. They don't understand that, but they know that, only God. Now, having said that, we get very liberal, very loose, as we go down the corridor of time, because the same as our country. Years ago, you would have found people going to church and Easter of quite a different celebration, quite a different atmosphere than it is now. But you don't have it now because it's all gone downhill. Back then, Israel's going downhill. So, in November 1869, this is the American Religious Reformed Prayer Book. In the Religious American Reformed Prayer Book of the Jews, quote, that the belief in the resurrection of the body has no foundation in Judaism. It has no place in Judaism. 1869. What do we believe about? Well, the nation's going to rise, and maybe a future for the nation. No one else. So now, having said that little bit, And keeping that in mind, God has a wonderful plan. There's a resurrection for the good, a resurrection for the bad. Now God's going to do that. He's going to take care of that most wonderfully, in a most wonderful way. Now, so therefore, having said that in Deuteronomy, in Daniel, if you can, well, you're looking at Daniel 12 and Daniel 12, 1 and 2. So, and now, go over in the time to jump, a big jump, over to 1 Corinthians 15. And the Old Testament looks for a resurrection. They just didn't believe. So here, 1 Corinthians. And remember, in God's Word, God deals with all subject, all things. So whether we're in Genesis, or in Job, or in Revelation, wherever you go, it's the same God having the same plan, same humans outworking it. And so when you read, that's what we try to do. You want to know what fear means to God? Then here's 66 books that help me understand the word fear. I could read one verse, fear the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, that's good. But I want to understand fear. I have to understand that I have to get the big picture. And then I got fear. It's the same God helping us inch by inch, piece by piece, understand fear, truth, resurrection. Every now and then, God gives a big section on fear, like in Job and that. He brings a big section. Here's on 1 Corinthians. Where's the big section on resurrection? 1 Corinthians 15. That's where you go. You want to look into resurrection in a quantity, 1 Corinthians 15. And it tells us, you know, because the Apostle Paul and that are bearing witness to it, the gospel, in that, picking up, please, chapter 15, picking up verse 13. If there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then is our prayer, our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain, empty. Yea, and we have found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ from the dead, whom he raised up, not up, raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. That no way. If Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and you are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If ye in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. First fruits, underline. First fruits. Nothing can happen. Christ, you know this. God created us. The only reason God created us, God didn't create bad. God created that which would glorify him. God created us in order that we might be saved, every single human being on earth. That's why he did it. That we might be saved, that we might honor him and glorify him. And that's what we're saved for. God has done that in a most wonderful way. And he went to the cross and died and rose again. And we cannot have the benefits of Christ's resurrection. We can't have the benefits until he dies on the cross. The basis of Adam and Eve being saved and Noah, Jonah being saved is Christ going to go to the cross. And they were given, as it were, an IOU, a check. You're going to be saved. And they believed. And they believed God like Abraham. Abraham believed God and was counted to him for righteousness. That's what they did. And they had a check. They had a piece of paper, as it were, a piece of paper. They could carry it. They have the right to be saved. They can't cash this check until Christ dies on the cross and puts it into your bank account. You can't cash the check. He has to put in saving grace. How is he going to give you saving grace? By dying on the cross. If he hasn't died on the cross, there's nothing in your bank account. He has to die on the cross to put it in your bank account. So all of these are waiting to cash the check, you see. That's what we're going to do. Now, and so having said that, keeping that in mind, so God, you have to have resurrection. The resurrection guarantees all of this has to happen. He died, rose again, all of it to make happen what he has intended, that we would all be saved. People all would be there. They're all accountable to God. He is the first fruits, the first one to be resurrected, to make all the rest of it possible. No, he's the first. Now, check bank account, the bank is full of his saving grace, his death on the cross, his rising again. Full, all paid up. All we got to do now, he rose again from the grave, and that's the announcement that everything's been paid. And we don't have to go and believe and hope that he'll die, wait for him to die. He died. Dead, remember. Now, so therefore, verse 21. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, he's the first one, you can't have anyone else. That's why you have the note in Matthew in that. After his resurrection, remember God let some bodies come out of the grave, as it were, to go to among the people to see, a very special event that God did. But you'll notice when you read that in Matthew, it says after his resurrection, God let them out of the grave just to show evidence. After. He's the first fruit. Therefore, in first fruits, and afterward, they that are Christ at his coming. Now we know there's two resurrections. And what are they? One's for good, the one's for the bad guys. Saved and unsaved. Two resurrections. Get that clear. Now, so therefore, what's the first resurrection? And the first resurrection is our Lord, and Christ rises again. He's the first fruits. And if you read in Romans 8 and all that, here's the church. We're saved, all things work together for good, the love of God, and be conformed to his image. We're the first fruits. Follow him. What do we know about the church? The church is a body of believers, whosoever's, that are saved. The same as Moses and Joshua. Same, but different. Their relationship to Christ, Moses, is one thing. David is another, like Moses. Ours isn't like that. God has raised up us in this time of grace, in this dispensation of grace. God has raised us up special. For what? The only sign, think of what we're doing in Sunday, in morning worship. To evidence God's grace. So us guys, girls, evidence our relationship to Jesus Christ His grace in a very, very special way. So you would understand then, He's the first fruits. He rose again, seated at the right hand of God. And here comes the church. The church is His body. And what are we looking for? What does He tell us to look for? What did He tell the Apostle John? What did He tell the Apostle John for in John 21? You wait for me, I'm coming. The way that's, boy, that's a long time ago. Wait, I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. I'm coming. For what? I'm coming to take my body home. That's a special, special unit. First resurrection of the good, of the saved. Christ rises again and makes that possible. The first thing you would expect, understandably and biblically, is the church is to be the next step. Now back, remember the old illustration? Think of the Rose Parade or a parade like that. And here comes the head of the parade representing the whole parade going down the corridor of time. And as you go down the corridor of time like that, and then the first fruits, and right behind the resurrected Christ is His body. They pass you, and right behind Him, understandably, is His body, the body of believers. They belong to Him. And right here comes the body of believers, and the body of believers are right there. But why can't we include John the Baptist? And remember, John the Baptist is excluded. Why is he excluded? He isn't part of the church. He isn't part of it. So John and John the Baptist is saying, why can't I come second, right there? Because you can't come, John, because you aren't part of the body of Christ. You're the last wonderful old saint of the Old Testament. And here you are. So, but you're good. You're the good guy, right? So Christ, the body, His body, the church, and then comes all of the Old Testament believers lined up. God has them all at once. No one's going to be ahead. They're all there. And God, as you know, without taking time to do that, in Ephesians, you know, our Lord, when He dies on the cross, 3 days and three nights, He goes down to paradise, which is, remember this, Hades and Sheol, same place. Hades and Sheol have a good compartment and a bad compartment. The bad compartment is for Cain and all the rest of them. The good compartment is for Moses and John the Baptist and John the, all of them. And that good compartment is there. It's part of Hades or Sheol. But when our Lord died, He made possible that He could empty, because remember they all got the little thing? They all got to get saved. So when God's going to take them all up into His wonderful presence, and God empties paradise. The thief on the cross said, the Lord said to the thief on the cross, today thou shalt be with me where? In paradise. But tomorrow you won't have to be there because we're going to empty it. Whoops, we're going to empty it. So all the Old Testament saints are there, but they aren't in the resurrection when the church is. The church is resurrected up. When Christ is raised from the dead, He has a body, doesn't He? How many days or minutes is it after His death and resurrection? Doesn't He have a body? He has a body, right, just like that. And therefore, when Christ, what are we waiting for? 1 Corinthians 5 and 2 Corinthians 5 and that. What are we waiting for? A body. We're waiting to be taken up to have a body. Why? Because He has a body. The head is there. The body needs to be seen. Here, see the head, see the body. Okay, that's why we're special. The Old Testament saints have to wait to the end of the tribulation. They have to wait. Because all those tribulation saints that get martyred, they're going to be part of it. They're the good guys. They're all going to be there. So when we come come to the end. Here's the first resurrection Christ, his body, and then all the Old Testament saints from Abel and from Adam and Eve, all the way down to John the Baptist, all the way down to the tribulation saints. That's where they are. They're all going to be there, and they're all coming. They're going to be put in at the end of the tribulation. That's what they're going to put at the end. So they're all going to be raised at the same time, resurrected, resurrected bodies. We already have a resurrected body. Why do we have a resurrected body? Because he does. We represent him. And so here we are. Here's the resurrection for the good guys, the first resurrection. And then the first resurrection includes all the good guys, and all the good guys are saved, resurrected. And when the millennium begins, all of those, we already got resurrected bodies, that's right. But all those people in the tribulation, Jews and Gentiles that survive, that are believers, they're the ones that enter the millennium. They enter the millennium, and they're going to live 1,000 years, unless they goof. They're going to live 1,000 years. That's what they're going to do. They're going to live 1,000 years, and they're going to live 1,000 years in the presence of all of the good guys that have been resurrected. So, see, here's the people in an earthly body, and here's you guys in a heavenly body. Wonderful. Now, so that's all of that, jumping ahead. So now, and so that's that. Sliding over now, Revelation. Oh, hold on, let me just read a little more. There's just so many things. Verse 24. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. Then he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Now, sliding over to Revelation 20, as you know. In Revelation chapter 20, first, only two resurrections for the good guys and the bad guys. And so when we come to chapter 20, if I can, in verse 5, 25. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. In other words, that the wages of sin is death. You die spiritually instantly. You're going to die physically. And you're going to die, if you don't get saved, spiritually. The second death, eternal death, eternal separation from God. Therefore, if I can, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that part of the first resurrection. On such the second death had no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. And when the 1,000 years have expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison. Sliding over again, you know, verse 10, you can read it at your leisure. And the devil was deceived and was cast into the lake of fire, and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on the throne, and the face of him, and the face, the earth and the heaven fled away from his face. The earth and heaven fled away, and there was not found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. That's the second resurrection, the resurrection unto damnation or judgment. And that's for the unsaved. That's where Cain, Abel, and everyone else, Cain and all of them are going to be that are unsaved. That's where they're going to be, at the end of the tribulation. So there's two resurrections, Christ risen, Easter. We're here evidencing Easter. We're right behind him. What are we doing? He's already seated. What are we waiting for? What are we doing? What are we supposed to be doing? Looking for his appearing. We're looking to go with him to finish the body so the tribulation can begin. And the tribulation begins in light of the Old Testament history and light and tribulation, and you go right down to the Lord's soon return. Anyway, I hope you got a little bit. If you got confusing, join the club. What can I tell you? It's easy. All of it's there, simple, clear, statement after statement. Thank you.